Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. Let's turn in our Bibles, if you will, please, to the book of Exodus chapter 2 and Hebrews chapter 11. Exodus chapter 2 and Hebrews chapter 11. Thank you, Lisa, for sharing that with us. Thanks, Mills. Thank you, Vicki, for sharing in song this morning also. Exodus chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 11. Before there were nations, before there were states, before there were schools, before there were churches, God created the home as the place where men and women and children could experience mutual love and happiness, strength, security, honor, and respect. The home is one of God's greatest gifts to us, and it is the safeguard of every civilization. I don't know how many of you are history buffs, but if you go back and you look at the great civilizations, going all the way back to the ancient ones, Egypt and all of those, you'll find that in every great civilization that has ever existed on the face of the earth, when the home and when home life was downgraded and destroyed, that was a death knell for that nation. God created the home to be the bulwark, the safeguard, the strength, the foundation upon which that nation exists. And when the home is destroyed, it's not long after that that nation ceases to exist. That ought to be a warning to us in the days in which we're living in. The home is the arena. It is the environment where love and compassion, particularly the love and the compassion of a mother, where the love and compassion of a mother who cares for every need, who encourages every heart, and who blesses every kind word and thought and deed. Now listen, the house may be a tent, it may be an apartment, it may be a cabin, it may be a shanty, it may be a mansion. It doesn't matter how the house is furnished. A good home is filled with the warmth and the caring of a mother's love. You don't have that, and you have an empty home life. Many years ago, my mother told me, "The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." And I believe that's true. The more I see, the more I'm exposed to in the homes nowadays, the more I realize that those who give us the greatest attention and care in our nurturing years are the ones who influence and mold and shape us to be what we're going to be when we become adults. The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. R.G. Lee, that great silver-tongued pastor, preacher, orator of the last generation, said that the home is where godly mothers ply their trade. The world needs godly mothers more than statesmen, more than poets, scientists, or professors. The child who is taught by a godly mother is reared to be a blessing. Now, if women were created by God to create homes worthy of honor, they need to acknowledge and they need to embrace principles of godly motherhood. The Bible gives us a few examples of such women. Jochebed is one of those examples. She was the daughter of Levi and the wife of Amram. She was also Amram's aunt. which in those days was not an unusual thing, but she wasn't older than Amram, but she was the daughter of Levi. She was Amram's wife, but she was also Amram's aunt. She had three children, each one of them important and significant in their own right. Miriam, the oldest and the daughter, was a musician and a gifted poet. Aaron, the middle child, was Israel's first high priest and the founder of the Aaronic priesthood in Israel. Moses, the youngest of the three, was the greatest prophet of the Old Testament and the greatest national leader and legislator in human history. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23. You're in Hebrews 11. Take a look at it. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. You need to note that passage of scripture. It wasn't Moses' faith that kept him hidden for 3 months. It was the faith of his father and mother. When the apostle writes by faith, he's speaking of the faith of his parents. By the faith of Amram and Jochebed, when Moses was born, he was hidden for 3 months. Now, from this text and from the Exodus chapter 2 text, I want us to see four very important qualities in godly motherhood. First of all, Jochebed was a mother who possessed deep spiritual insight. She possessed deep spiritual insight. I am convinced that a woman who walks with the Lord consistently, faithfully, a woman who walks with the Lord will know the Lord's plan and purpose for her life and for the life of her household. There's no question in my mind about that. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 2 reads, when Jochebed saw that Moses was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. Now in Exodus chapter 2 verse 2, in Acts chapter 7 and verse 20, and in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 23, these three passages tell us that Moses was a beautiful child. That Moses was a beautiful child. And everybody says, well, of course, every child is a beautiful child. I don't know how many children you've seen. Not every child is a beautiful child. It's not their fault. That's just the truth. But the word beautiful, the Hebrew word beautiful is tov. And the Hebrew word means not only was this child pleasing to the eye, but the word tov also means to be precious to God. So Moses was not only a beautiful baby, but immediately Jochebed understood, Jochebed saw that this child was precious to the Lord. She perceived an otherworldly quality in him. There was something about this baby that made him different. Now remember, she'd already had two children, Miriam and Aaron. But there was something about this child, who would later be called Moses, that was different. She had spiritual insight. She walked with God. She was a godly woman. And she saw in this child the hand of God upon this baby. She knew that God had a special purpose for him. Now, because she was a loving mother, and because she walked with the Lord and understood that this child was special to the Lord, she risked her life. She risked her life to preserve and to protect little Moses. You know, when I was a kid, we used to sing, Jesus loves the little children of the world. You remember the song? Let's sing it. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. God loves children. Amen? They're precious to Him. They should be equally precious to you and me. Amen? Whether we're parents or grandparents or great-grandparents or guardians of other people's children, they should all be precious to us. They are precious to the Lord. We should care for them, provide for them, and we should protect them, even to the point of risking our lives for them. One day, when Jesus was teaching his disciples about home life, in Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 to 15, we read that little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked the parents for bringing the children. And they tried to keep the children at a distance from Jesus. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands upon them, and he blessed them. God honors the children that he gives to us. They're precious to him. They ought to be precious to each and every one of us. Jochebed was a godly mother, and because she had spiritual insight, she knew that the Lord had great plans for her son. But we should also note, secondly, that Jochebed was a mother who possessed a strong faith in God. And may I emphasize, dear friends, a strong faith in God. Not a weak faith, not a nominal faith, not a normal faith, not a contemporary faith, but a strong faith in God. At the time of Moses' birth, Israel had been slaves in Egypt. The children of Israel, the Hebrews, had been slaves in Egypt for 250 years. At the time of Moses' birth, they had been several generations in slavery under a Pharaoh and under taskmasters that were harsh and cruel. They had grown so large in numbers that Pharaoh Thutmose I believed that they would outpopulate the Egyptian people and soon take over the country. And so he issued a decree that all newborn baby boys were to be cast into the Nile River, drowned, eaten by the crocodiles, abandoned, killed. Jochebed's daughter, Miriam, was about 10 years old at that time. Her son, her first son, Aaron, was about 3 years old at that time. And now Jochebed is pregnant with a third child. And that child would most likely be taken by the midwife to the authorities and thrown into the Nile River. What would she do? How could she deal with this situation? She was a loving mother. She was a godly woman. She could not. The thought of turning a child over to a pagan, to a heathen government, so that the child would surely be killed was abhorrent to her. But she was living in a land and under the authority of a king who decreed that all baby boys would be killed. What would she do? What would you do? She did the only thing that she could do. She chose to trust in God. She put her full faith in the Lord. She didn't know what was going to happen. She couldn't see the future, but she knew God could take this very dire situation and turn it around and make something great out of it. She trusted in the Lord. Stephen said in Acts chapter 7 and verse 20 that Moses was raised in his own home for the first 3 months of his life. Jochebed believed God would take care of her and would take care of that infant that was still in her womb. And when the baby was born and she could no longer hide the child in her home, she trusted God to make a way for his continued safety and provision. She was a woman of strong faith. King Solomon sang in Psalms verses 3 through 5 in the 127th song of the Hebrew people, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them." You see, children are not simply the product of a biological act between a male and a female. They are a blessing from God. Do you believe that? Now, I know some rowdy kids. And I know some kids that, after 5 minutes, I'm ready to send them home. I'm not talking about your children, hun. My grandson looks at me and rolls his eyes. I know that not all children are perfect. Not all children are little angels. Some of them have wings. They don't come from heaven. But they are a blessing from God. All too often, listen, dear friends, and I'm dead serious about this. All too often, the children that we have to deal with are the products of our own attitudes instilled within them. I have noticed over the years of not only raising my own children and helping to raise my grandchildren, but also as the pastor of a church and being in ministry for 40 years now, I have realized over the course that children are great mirrors of what they're exposed to in life. They can mimic to a T what they see and what they hear in their own homes. All too often, dear friends, our kids are hard cases because we're hard cases. They're rowdy and unruly and lawless because we are rowdy and unruly and lawless. They are precious to God. They are God's gift to us. We need to treat them as God's gifts, precious to us. We should love them enough to do all that we can for them, like Jochebed. And at the same time, we should put them in the hands of God by praying daily for them and instructing them in the ways of the Lord. As a father, and I know this is not Father's Day, Vernal came to me a while ago after reading the passage of Scripture, and he said, "You're going to be talking about Jochebed." It's Jochebed, but Jochebed. And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, what about Amram?" And I said, "Well, it ain't Father's Day. We'll talk about him some other time." And he said, "Well, he was a part of it too, wasn't he?" And I said, "Yeah, he was, but it's Mother's Day." It's nice when you have your deacons on the same page, But we'll get to Amram later on, brother, okay? Will you be here for that one? Okay, it'll be a couple of years, so we'll get there. All right. Job, as a father, Job possessed this same great faith. Turn to Job. Just turn to Job, chapter 1. It's not very far away. If you're in Exodus, turn right. Go to about the middle of your Bible. If you're over in Hebrews, turn left and go about the middle of your Bible. Job, right before the book of Psalms. Job chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. This is the kind of father that Job was. This is the kind of man of faith that Job was. The kind of faith that Jochebed had. And his sons, speaking of Job's sons, his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day. That means a birthday party. When one of the sons had a birthday, they would have a feast. Usually lasted for about a week. And they would party, bring all the other brothers in and the sisters in and all the friends and the neighbors in, and they would have a festival for an entire week. So on their appointed day, he would send and invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was, when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them. He would rise early in the morning, offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all, for Job says, "It might be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts? This Job did what? Huh? The Hebrew word is all the time. Regularly. Sometimes moms and dads are not a part of what goes on in the kid's life. I realize that. I understand that. I have two daughters. Believe me, I didn't get this gray hair from a bottle. Okay? And so I know that we're not always a part of our kids' lives. They do things, they go places, they're with people that we're not always aware of. Given the fact that we're not always into our children's lives, not only because they don't want us to be, but sometimes we don't want to be, does not remove us from the responsibility of continually sanctifying them before the Lord in prayer and to continue to be the example of godly fatherhood and motherhood in the home. Job did this on a regular basis. Jochebed did this continually. All of the great men and women of Scripture who had great children sanctified their homes in the Lord. Jochebed was a mother who possessed deep spiritual insight and a strong faith in God. Not only that, thirdly, Jochebed was a mother who possessed great personal courage. It ain't easy being a parent. Some of you know that. It's not easy being a parent nowadays. It never has been easy in any day to be a parent. It takes courage to be a parent. Sometimes it takes great courage just to enter into that room where the music is blaring and the posters and the, well, you know that. Some of you have been there. It takes great courage to be a parent. Look at verses 3 and 9. Go back to Exodus chapter 2. Verses 3 through 9. We're not going to read it, but in Exodus chapter 2, verses 3 through 9, if you have a cursory reading of that, you'll note that the fact that Jochebed hid Moses for 3 months, and when she could no longer hide Moses, she made a little ark, a little boat out of bulrushes, or out of tule weeds, as we would call them, cattails, placed him in it, set it afloat in the crocodile-infested Nile River near the place where Pharaoh's daughter bathed. And no doubt she watched over this little ark with the baby in it, along with Miriam, to see that no harm would befall little Moses. And then she presented herself before Pharaoh's daughter Hatshepsut as a nurse for the child, proved that Jochebed had great courage. She defied the king's command. She didn't turn her child over to be killed. She kept the child. And when it was no longer safe to keep the child for her or for the child, she made a boat and she put it in the Nile River where there were crocodiles and everything else in that river and stood by, and Miriam stood by to watch over, to protect the child. When the opportunity came that the child could be saved, she presented herself as a nursemaid for that child. That took courage. Some mothers today wouldn't even walk across the street to save their kids. Jochebed was willing to risk her life to save her child. She risked her life to protect and to provide for little Moses. As parents and as guardians of our children, we have to be courageous and willing to sacrifice and risk, to take a stand and to secure the mental, physical, moral, spiritual well-being of our children. We may be criticized for it by others, and our children may criticize us for it, but it is our responsibility. You know there are crocodiles out in the world today, don't you? There are crocodiles out in the world today ready to prey on our children and drag them down into their spiritual, moral, emotional, mental, even physical deaths. I remember not 1,000 years ago or 1,000,000 miles away when our youngest daughter was in high school. She brought one of her boyfriends to church and we had a worship service together. He had one of his buddies with him, and after church was over, we went over, at that time we were living in the parsonage, and we went over to the parsonage, and as Nancy and the girls were in the kitchen and they were making lunch ready, I was sitting in a chair in the living room, and Aaron's boyfriend and his friend were sitting on the couch, and they were smart alecks, okay? Back home, we'd call them burr heads, and they were right at the top. They were smart aleck. They were laughing and goofing off and carrying on, and I was sitting there, you know, trying to be a father and being, you know, the control of my household and all of that kind of stuff. But my temperature was rising very quickly. And all of a sudden, her boyfriend looked at me and said, "You know, I've dated a lot of girls, and I think you just need to know that I'm not a virgin." And I looked him square in the eye and I said, "That's okay. My daughter's a virgin, and she'll continue to be a virgin long after you're gone." Sometimes, dear friends, we have to be courageous and take a stand to protect our kids. And our kids will hoot and holler and scream and yell and say all kinds of things to us. But I learned a long time ago as a child, if you're living under my roof, you're going to obey my rules. And if you don't like it, then provide for your own roof. I'm convinced, dear friends, that oftentimes children will act up and they will do the things that they do, not because they're demon-possessed, it's because they're lacking structure in their lives and they're wanting attention. They're wanting someone to invest some time in their lives. And if they're not going to get it from moms and dads in the homes, they're going to get it from the gangs out on the streets, they're going to get it from their buddies at school, high school, college, wherever, who are only interested in what they can get from them, strip them dry, and then leave them to hang out and dry. They're going to find that attention somewhere. But we have to be courageous as parents, as dads, and as moms. Take a stand and say, "Look, life is tough. Life is hard. And we have to make the most of it. And we're not going to do it by being unruly and lawless and, you know, disruptive and tearing the home apart. We're going to do it by being what God wants us to be." Jochebed was courageous, personally courageous, and was willing to do whatever she needed to do to secure the life and the safety and the provisions of her child. Finally, Jochebed was a mother who possessed true faithfulness to the Lord. Look at verse 11, Exodus chapter 2. "Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens." Read that again. "It came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out to see his brethren and he looked at their burdens." Now, you'll remember that Moses, see, when Jochebed put little Moses, that infant, in that ark and set him out in the bulrushes of the Nile River over where Hatshepsut normally bathed herself, the princess saw the basket, opened the basket, there was Moses, she fell in love with the child, she took the child and brought her into her own home. She adopted. Did she know that this child was a Hebrew child? Of course she knew it was a Hebrew child. Well, wouldn't she be defying her father? That's okay, God's hand was in it. And then there's little Miriam comes running up and says, "You know, I know somebody that can take care of that kid for you. I know your hands are busy. You got a lot of stuff to deal with. I know somebody who can care for that child." Okay. And so she went and got her mother and brought her mother, Moses' mother, back and said, "This woman will take care of the baby for you." And Hatshepsut paid Moses' mother to raise him. Can't get a better deal than that, can you? Wouldn't you like to get paid to raise your own kids? Yeah, the price ain't high enough. Anyway, Moses was raised in Pharaoh's house for 40 years, the first 40 years of his life. He lived in Pharaoh's home. But Jochebed was faithful to teach him and to train him daily in the knowledge and wisdom and traditions and in the faith of the true and living God. Listen, dear friends, we face the same thing today. When our kids are young, we send them out to the Pharaohs of the world. They're going out into schools that have no regard for our God. We send them out into jobs where things are morally and ethically corrupt. We send them out into the world where there are friends that they will embrace and circles of influence that they'll be exposed to that will turn them away from the Lord God. They will be exposed to worldly philosophy. They'll be exposed to atheism. They'll be exposed to all of the religions of the world. And it's confusing and frustrating for them. We're sending them out into Pharaoh's house. We need to have moms and dads who are truly faithful to the Lord so that when they come home from Pharaoh's house, they can be instructed in the ways of the Lord. They can know who the true and living God is. And they can know the ways of the Lord and how to deal with peer pressure and how to deal with unethical behavior and how to deal with immoral activity and how to deal with all of the things that escape, all of the things that just break them down inside. They'll know how to deal with that because they have been taught the truth. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hope you kept your place over there in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24, 25, and 26. Look at Hebrews 11, 24, 25, and 26. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, again, when he was an adult, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. That is a profound statement. Where did Moses get an understanding of what is sin? You think Pharaoh told him what sin was? You think Hatshepsut told him what sin was? Where did he get this understanding of sin? If we believe sin is anything contrary to God's word, God's will for our lives, then where did Moses get that understanding? And how did he come to understand the reproach of Christ? His mother taught him. She was a godly woman. She walked with the Lord. She knew what was right and what was wrong in the eyes of the Lord, and she taught her children. Did she know Christ? Absolutely. Just like Abraham knew Christ. Just like David knew Christ. Moses knew Christ, and he learned about Christ from his mother. Listen, we have a responsibility to teach our children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, the ones that we bring into our homes. We have the responsibility to teach them the ways of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 reads, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it." The Hebrew word is konak. It means to educate through expression and example. Did you hear me? It doesn't mean just to sit down and give them a little Bible lesson. It means to educate the child through expression, verbally, and through example. Physically, we're to teach our children the words, the will, and the ways of the Lord as we live them ourselves. And this is where it all breaks down, guys. This is where we really flub the dub, right here. We leave it up to the world. We leave it up to the government, to the schools, or to the civic organizations to do that. It is our responsibility as moms and dads in the home to instruct our children by the things that we say and by the way that we live, the ways of the Lord. We can't leave it up to the government. We can't leave it up to the schools. We can't leave it up to the civic organizations. We have to do it ourselves. And whatever we teach them here at church, we have to reinforce it in our homes. Huh? Well, I took my kid to school, Sunday school, for 35 years. I took my kid to Sunday school. But what did you do in the home? Did you do anything in the home to reinforce what they were being taught in Sunday school? Or by your lifestyle and by your attitudes, did you take what they learned in Sunday school and throw it right out the window? Jochebed was a mother who honored the Lord in her life. When Moses was born, she recognized the hand of God upon him and that God would use him in a significant way. With courage, she kept him safe. She cared for him. She taught him and trained him to know and to honor the Lord in his own life. She did not fear what would happen to Moses because she entrusted him into the care and the keeping of the Lord. Dear friends, the hand that rocked that cradle was the hand that ruled that world. And if it could be so then, it can be so now. Pray with me. Father, again, I thank you for our mothers. I thank you for my mother, so instrumental in who I am and what I know and what I do. I thank you for Nancy, my wife, the mother of my children, and for the sacrifices that she has made over the years to provide for our children and for our grandchildren. I thank you for Sandy, who also cares for our grandchildren and the influence that she has over them. I thank you for Anna and for Aaron, my children, who are also mothers, and Father, who have shouldered that great responsibility to raise up their children to know the Lord and to love the Lord and to follow the ways of the Lord. Father, you have richly blessed my family. And I thank you for that. You have richly blessed many families in this fellowship. And I thank you for that. I thank you, Father, for those mothers who have believed in their heart that the full responsibility of the growth and the development, particularly the spiritual growth and the development of their children, falls upon them. And they're willing to take that to task. And to do all, Lord God, within their power and with the resources that you've given them to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bless them. But Father, I know that there are women here today whose children are not following the Lord. And they have done their dead level best to be the example, to share, to pray, to teach, to do everything right, to do everything what your word has said that they should do in order to raise up godly children. But their children have strayed. Their children do not honor the Lord. I pray that you will give them peace in their heart, knowing the promise of Scripture. We do our part to train up a child in the way that he should go, and you will do your part. When that child becomes of age, when that child grows older, he'll not depart from it. He'll come back to it. We have done what we need to do to lay the foundation, and we need to trust you to build on that foundation. Give them peace. Bless them. Father, there may be one here today who doesn't know you. Maybe they didn't come from a godly home. Maybe they didn't have parents that took them to church. Or maybe they heard, but they didn't pay any attention. And they went ahead and went out into the world and did what they were going to do anyway, with no regard for what it would mean to them and how it would break the hearts of their family members. But today they realize the great void in their lives because Jesus is not there. I ask, Lord God, that you will draw them by the loving power of your Holy Spirit back to Christ, that they might make a first-time decision, a first-time commitment to Jesus, who is able to take their life and make something great out of it. We may never be like a Moses or an Aaron or a Miriam, but we certainly can be all that you desire us to be when we give our life to you and let you be the Lord over who we are. I ask again, Father, that you will draw them by your Holy Spirit, and that, Lord God, today they will be willing to make their commitment to Jesus. This I ask in your holy and precious name. Amen and amen. David is going to lead us as we sing this song of decision. Stand with me, if you will, please. And as we sing, if you are ready to commit your life to Jesus Christ, then I invite you to come, and that you will put your faith in him whom to know is life everlasting. I pray that you will come and commit to him who is able to forgive you of all sin, who is able to remove your sin as far as the east is from the west, who is able to cast your sin into the seas of his forgetfulness and remember them no more. Maybe you have made a commitment to Christ already, but you've walked away from that. You've turned away from that. You've gone back out into Pharaoh's land, and you've been living out there away from God. Like the prodigal son, you've taken your inheritance and you've gone out and wasted it in the world, and now you're lying down with the pigs. How apropos. But you realize it's time to come home. It's time to come back. It's time to get right with God. It's time to come back to the foundation upon which your life is to be built, and to renew your covenant with Christ. I invite you to come. Maybe you're looking for a church home, and you feel the impulse of the Holy Spirit asking you to come and become a part of our family, get busy in the kingdom of God while there's still time. Whatever your decision is, whatever your need is, I ask you simply to give it to the Lord. Trust the Lord with it. He'll answer it. But do it now as the Holy Spirit calls. David, lead us as we sing.
This alabaster jar is all I have of earth. I'm laying it at your feet, Lord. It's less than you deserve. You're far more beautiful, more precious than the oil. The sum of my desires and the fullness of my joy. Like you still.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.